Daytime Confidential podcast brought to you by DaytimeConfidential.com. On today's show, Caroline and Ridge get married on Bold and the Beautiful. Sonny survives getting shot on General Hospital. Cassie DePaiva is out at Days of Our Lives. And Michael E. Knight is in at Young and the Restless. All this and much more on today's show, so stay tuned. Welcome.
Hey.
How you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good.
There were people who were concerned about you being under the weather on Twitter. I'm glad you were able to make it to the podcast.
Yeah, I have the flu, but I'm here.
That is dedication.
Yep.
Jillian Bo, welcome.
Hello.
Yeah, you're sounding far away.
Hello.
And Michael Jubonville, welcome.
Hey, what's up?
Well, let's talk a little bit about soaps. Jamie Giddens, you and I had a fun conversation the other evening about soaps and other topics. And during that conversation, we discussed...
I like Dial. Oh, sorry. What was your point? I'm sorry.
And during the conversation, we were discussing Days of Our Lives and everything from Cassie DePaiva's departure to the 50th anniversary. Are you going to miss Cassie as Eve?
No, I'm not. And I love Cassie DePaiva. I was a huge fan of Blair, but I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm going to miss her portrayal of Eve, because I'm not. And I, again, love her. Think she's great. I think she gave the role her all. She really, especially this past week with grieving over Paige, you know,
ding dong.
She really tried her best, you know, and that's not always the case with a lot of recasts. So I applaud her for that. But Charlotte Ross will forever be my Eve Donovan. And I never, you know, I've made a running joke about how I accepted, you know, 4 Ashley Abbotts, you know, 4 Kelly Capwells, but I guess there's only one Eve Donovan for me, and the harshness in which they wrote the character, you know, Eve and Jennifer had a very kind of Betty and Veronica rivalry. It was never just as nasty, I'm gonna sick drug dealers on your child to try to help have him get killed for being a DEA informant and all this. It just, none of it has ever really rang true for me as a long-term fan, and just all this venom and anger that she's had against Jennifer for what? I mean, because they both dated Frankie Brady back when they teased their hair too much. It just never made sense to me. And, you know, again, Cassie gave it the college try. Days really needs to stop. They're the new The Young and the Restless. The Young and the Restless used to be the one that was really bad about running out and snatching and grabbing stars from other shows and then doing poorly by them. And now that's Days. I mean, you know,
that must be a Sony thing.
It's like they want to run and grab all. I mean, if you think about, Cassie's in great company because Days did this to Sarah Brown. They did this to
Tamara
Lindsay
Brown.
Well, Tamara's coming back. Lindsay Hartley. And I think Tamara left on
Michelle.
Her own the first
Michelle.
Time.
Not Michelle.
Chriselle Stouse. I mean, they just keep gathering up. Sarah Brown, you know, multi-daytime Emmy winner. And they don't do right by them because, you know, every year there's a reboot. And every year the first thing that the people who are brought in to do the latest reboot do is fire everybody the last reboot brought in and either bring back people from the 80s or bring in their favorites. And so it doesn't bode well for actors. So big fan of Cassie, but not going to be pouring out any for the homie on that.
Well, you may not have been a fan of her portrayal of Eve, and I'm not a fan of Guy Wilson's portrayal of Will, but there is a rumor out there that was reported by Serial Scoop saying that he could be on his way out and that he might be killed. Now, I don't necessarily want to ever see Will Horton Brady, whatever you want to call him, Horton. Killed. I know, but he's still Sammy Brady's
so,
boy. I can't help it. He's still Sammy's
so
son.
We know, Will.
But I don't want to see him die. Yeah. I mean, I can totally see him recast, but I don't want to see him die. Jamie, I mean, what are your thoughts on that bit of casting news?
I'm going to speak very briefly in an umbrella sense about this. I would not be surprised if it's true. I hope it's not. You know, no shade at all to Michael Goldberg, because he's been on the money with a lot of his day's scoops. But I pray this one doesn't come to pass, because I am not a fan of killing off legacy characters for momentary shock and awe, and that would be the textbook definition of this. Will Horton, the character, has driven 2 decades worth of story, from Sammy tricking Austin into believing he was the father, to Lucas finding out, to all the custody battles, to the coming out, to the first, you know, same-sex male marriage in daytime. I mean, it's so short-sighted to kill that character off. It's, and especially for the lamest serial killer storyline Days has ever done. It's not worth it.
And they're usually pretty good
they
at serial
They are usually
killer stories.
Very good at it, but this one is not good, in my opinion.
I have a question. Now, I know with serial killers, you're usually like, it has to be someone like meaningful, so to speak, to the canvas. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that he gets snuffed out from the serial killer. Wouldn't this be something meaningful, like to give it more oomph, the serial killer more oomph storyline, if, you know, they kill not only a Brady and a Horton off, but also Will?
For me, you can kill off whoever you want in a serial killer storyline as long as the story is engaging. That's why I was able to ride or die with, the Salem Stalker story, because those murders were so shocking. They were so over the top. The fact that the killer used parts of the people's respective history and storyline, you know,
Max
killing,
with that gin bottle.
Killing Grandma Horton with a donut, killing Maggie with a bottle of booze. I mean, that was so fun and campy and Scream and I Know What You Did Last Summer-esque that I was able to go, okay, these are some of my favorite characters in the world, and when I believed they wouldn't come back, I was still okay with the story, because it kicked ass every day. Again, for me, this is the lamest thing I've ever seen. You know, I don't even think, has Teresa even reacted to her niece being dead? You know, everything just feels so contrived.
Yeah, she doesn't know yet.
I've been kind of confused on the timeline with the day, because I was a little... I remember questioning what day they were on and how somebody who has an iPad with her all the time. So I agree with that aspect of it. I'm a little confused about the timing of stuff.
Yeah, I feel like this day's reboot, they spent more time on that promo, that kick-ass promo, than they actually have the storylines. And I'll say why for me. Chad never had a scene with Serena that I can recall. Then they're getting smashed and, you know, she's slapping him and cutting his lip. And, you know, he's been slapped many, many times before on this show and punched. But this particular slap is just so infuriating that he's going to chase that bitch out into the, you know, that feels totally contrived.
His acting is the only thing that's saving him. He's been phenomenal.
He wasn't this mad at EJ when EJ smashed
everything. It's like, let's, you know, Marlena hasn't been doing psychiatry work for the police in 15 years at least. We're gonna get her back in there doing that. We're gonna hurry up and get Rafe back in the police station. We're gonna get Gabby out of jail just in time for Cruz Castillo to be her daddy, and we find out that Paige was their sister when they never even had scenes with this girl. You know, all of it just feels really contrived. And yes, there are things that I like, thank you for mentioning the Martins with the Martin Mansion and things like that, but that's just not enough for me. You know, John and Patch are doing ISA work on, you know, Marlena's Wi-Fi password protection.
Unsecure Wi-Fi.
You know, in her La Quinta suite. I'm like, you know, it's like they used to have an ISA lair. You know, Shane Donovan pushed a button and a secret room appeared and the ISA agents went in there. And I mean, and I get it. It's a new day and there's no. Well, no, I said this on Twitter. I'm going to stop giving them that freaking excuse, because I'm not going to cuss either, about the no budget, because that's BS, because they built a brand new set for lame-o Paige to go to college. They built a multi-story set for that girl to go to college. But Marlena can't get a decent set. We can't get an ISA lair. We got John Black in the middle of Marlena's kitschy living room with Patch, you know, talking about Edward Snowden and how Edward Snowden, after Edward Snowden, they shut down Germany. So they're on cell phones and a laptop. Talk about spy games. You know, trying to track Bo down. And it's like, oh, Bo is in Cancun. I mean, it's just lame. I cannot stress how lame this is. General Hospital pulled out the motherfreaking stops for the 50th anniversary. They had water adventures. They had, I mean, people made fun of it, but the spy games had, you know, high stakes villains. This just feels, it's like John's all, oh, I'm going to sell Basic Black. Oh, and now Basic Black is no longer an international fashion house. It's a boutique, as they called it, that three women who haven't worked in a, well, Nicole's worked as a local, you know, disc jockey or whatever she was, broadcast journalist in for Salem's freaking news station. But now these three women who have not a penny between
them. Kate has a little, has
money. Well, yeah, Kate, it makes sense. But, you know, now they're going to buy Basic. I mean, everything just feels paint by numbers. We're going to sling together days. All the women hate their ISA agent husbands. They've dated these men and slept with them and gone on the adventures with them for 40 years. But now, you know, Patch is like, Kayla, your brother, I think that your brother's in trouble. Shut up, Patch. You're just whoring around with some woman. No, this woman said she knows where Bo. Shut up, you. It's like, I don't buy
that. Bust you with that good eye.
I totally buy Kayla being pissed about Patch, like, being away for years.
Yeah.
But I don't buy everyone being so... Marlena, Kayla, and Hope. Especially Hope, since she's a cop. She was a cop before Bo. She and Patch went on ISA missions without Bo. I do not buy these women being so anti-ISA.
Victor, forget the hoes. Victor! When Victor was like, oh, he's gone. I'm like, Victor knows his boy would not leave Fancy Face and, you
know. Well, at least they did have the due diligence to say he did his own reconnaissance and was stopped. But my big gripe, and y'all know I'm a Bo and Hope fan, so I totally want Bo and Hope back together. But I wanted a triangle. I think it's so lame after watching this cute
that he's working for Stefano.
You know, so this whole cutesy tootsy Meg Ryan Tom Hanks thing about, you know, a widower whose kid was picked on by the snarky little girl of the divorcee cop, and then they end up on every church committee together, even though they hate each other. So now I'm supposed to believe that that was all a grand scheme of Stefano. So what, did he put a microchip in little Sierra's head for her to pick on Chase so that they could run into each other? Because it was totally, you know, this supposedly random coincidence that Hope and Aiden, you know, became friends and then ended up on all these committees together. And all the times when we saw him and her try to get off of the committees because they didn't want to work together, now it's like, ha 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 ha, this whole time he's been working for Stefano because he has, I mean, it just feels contrived. And I'm a fan of Josh Griffin. Go ahead.
Jillian, what do you think of the 50th so far?
You know what? It started to cook with gas, so to speak, when Patch came back. I thought it was really juicy, but then it started, you know, it's no shade against Stephen Nichols at all or Mary Beth Evans, but they cannot carry it all themselves. You know what I mean? I was excited for that. I was excited to see Patch coming back, and it's like, I want my sweetness back. And that little bratty kid that plays Joey thought this is kind of cool. But it's starting to fall. It's falling flat for me. Like, I don't give two shits about Paige. Why is Billy Clyde Tuggle?
I'm just glad she's dead.
I don't get why Billy Clyde, well, we all are, child. I can cyber high five you for that. But I don't get why Billy Clyde Tuggle is terrorizing the town. Like, Stefano and Victor have taken out lesser men. And you mean to tell me this country asshole is just like wrecking shop? I don't understand it, and I do not get this at all, why this is going down. You know, I think we got lost in translation on Twitter, Jamie, because I was like, you know, when you were talking about that, I was like, well, I can see why she mad at Patch with that, you know, he left her. The backstory is they were in Africa. Isn't it always in Africa with Days? They go to Africa to help the Africans out. And then while they're on vacation, Patch is like, bye ho, I gotta go, and just leaves her and their kids. So I felt Kayla when she was like, I am not trying to get back with you, Cyclops. But him saying, this is not your brother, like, my best friend since we were merchant marines would not dip and leave his kid like that, and she's just like, oh, screw you. I don't get Kayla doing that, because Bo is her, that's her blood. Bo is her blood, despite what she...
And this isn't their first go-round with, you know, larger-than-life stakes taking away their loved ones. I mean, you know, Patch was presumed dead for 16 years, you know, Bo was once turned into a mime by Stefano. Hope was once turned into a princess with a microchip at the stroke of midnight on a holiday. I mean, it's not like these things don't happen to this town all the time, that they wouldn't suspect something fishy with Bo being away this long. But the women are all acting like, yeah, right. You know,
like,
I
don't believe that those Bradys would not buy that. I mean, I think the one that still sort of kind of feels true is Caroline. It's just like, something ain't right with my brother.
Well, and she's looking in mirrors and seeing Sean. You know, dead. Why is Sean Brady's ghost appearing to her in a mirror in the old Martin mansion? The Bradys weren't even on the show when the Martins were on the show. It's like, his ghost, did he get lost? Does he need ghost GPS to find his
pocket? He didn't go into the light, Jamie. He's still trying to find it. Now, I'm going to go to Mike here real quick. Mike, my problem with the 50th so far is because it seems like there's way too much emphasis on Abby and Ben. And personally, if they were going to be killing off a Horton youngster, I would much rather have them have it be Abby than Will.
Stop that!
What are you thinking of the 50th so far, or are you just watching your own version?
I am not watching my own version, although I've said this before to you guys. I don't have the huge history background that you do. I know there are some jarring shifts that always seem to happen when new writers come on, but I really do feel like a lot of the stories that were kind of slow and dead in the water, they picked up. I feel like Clyde is acting the way he should have been acting all along, which was like a menacing thing that, and then maybe his story would have wrapped up a long time ago. I think Ben is acting the way I expected that Ben would start to unravel mentally. Abby's Abby. She doesn't bother me. You could tell there's some good heat with her and Chad. The thing with, you know, I like the kid Joey. I think he's a good find, and I'm hopeful that the other youngins that come aboard are going to be able to fill the gaps. I'm going to miss that little girl, Sierra. But yeah, I'm a little disappointed that they took Aiden's character down this road, because I kind of hoped that they would have a better resolution to, like Jamie said, I could have gone with a triangle, because he stood up pretty well to Patch when Patch was giving Hope a hard time. So I don't know. I see a lot of things that are moving forward. I know that it's weird to have three women who have no money, to own this company, but the possibility of, you know, these three working together, they had to take Teresa in a different direction and kind of mature her a little bit. And I think having Nicole and Kate help her with her, you know, her scheming and her plan, she had to move forward. And Eve, I'm going to miss Cassie DePaiva. She killed it for me this week.
Okay.
You don't have to be a Paige fan, but she just brought it. I mean, the torment of losing a child, she just brought it right front and center, ugly crying, doing the whole nine yards.
I really do believe that Clyde could get over on Stefano.
No. Well, I think this is something that I think a lot of things that had stalled and people were bored with, I feel like these are the things that are just starting to move forward. They obviously didn't like what they were doing with JJ, so they're just probably trying to wrap this whole thing up really quickly. And I think I don't know. I just think that Ben and Clyde have been around a long time, maybe a lot longer than they were supposed to be, and I feel like these were the directions they were going to go. It does feel like Stefano and Victor have kind of forgotten about them, but I'm kind of hoping that they haven't.
Jamie, let's talk about the Young and the Restless. Sharon went to rehab. Yeah, this last week.
you just combined two very different songs. Like
The Beatles and then Amy Winehouse.
Yeah, Amy Winehouse and the Beatles have one thing in common. They're British.
What did you think of how that is playing out? And watching this last week's The Young and the Restless, Sharon being written the way she is and Phyllis's stupidity, I just wanted to chuck something at my TV. What did you think of Sharon this last week?
I've made my peace with Sharon, with the Sharon situation. One thing I'm trying to do is not just bang my head about things that are not going to get better. So Pratt sees Sharon as crazy. In his defense, the last three regimes have too. He's just the only one not apologizing about it. So,
it's this baby thing.
Sharon Case is so good with crazy eyes that I can kind of just get on board a little bit. I mean, because she's at least entertaining me. The Phyllis stuff drives me nuts because Phyllis was one of the smartest characters in daytime, and now she's fucking Chrissy Snow. There, I did cuss. I'm sorry. But she's Chrissy Snow. She's Chrissy Snow. She's going. When has Phyllis Summers, Romolotti, Abbott, Newman, ever wanted to go hang out in the bushes with an old man? I mean, this whole Phyllis has found this new friend, Fred, and it's made things easier for her. It's so stupid! This is so stupid!
So, we're to believe Phyllis has never seen a picture of Ian Ward.
Stupid!
No, I can buy that, because she was in a coma. But I just don't
think... But Phyllis is nosy. You know Phyllis probably caught up.
I don't care. That point, that's not the part that bothers me. The point that bothers me is that it's out of character for sexy, slinky, you know, Michelle Stafford used to wear those damn dresses that look like they hurt your body parts. For her to be wandering around in the bushes, having coffee...
Picking flowers for 18 hours.
This is not the character of Phyllis! It's like, who is this? Who is this? Who is this person? But I will say that Wyatt R., that is a strong reaction to one thing. But I'm enjoying Y&R overall because they have some sexy brown people on. I love Lucas Santori. And I love that he is, you know, I got into a debate because this one fan was like, oh my God, they're trying to bring on the mob, Jamie. And I'm like, he's not a mobster. He's a Spanish royal he's like some, it's like an old school dynasty character. I love this. And they had this whole backstory about how.
It doesn't hurt that he's hot, right?
Yes. Marisa, you know, turned away from him in the life of luxury that he provided her, being a Santori woman, to date, you know, a 60s. 60-something-year-old white man calling himself a Latino. You know, I don't understand what that's about, Marisa. But I love that this guy is in town and he wants her back, and she's playing Noah like she doesn't know who he is. And Noah, you know, poor
is as dumb as his father.
He's bonding with the guy. I hope you find your wife. And then they're both, you know, the two of them are talking about each other over his head, and he's just so pretty and dumb. He's like, I hope you and your wife get back together. And he's like, yeah, so do I. And there's Marissa. I love it. I will go there. That's very Melrose Placey pratty. I like it. It's fun. It's sexy. It's like when Joe had that ex pop up and causing all that problem, those problems on Melrose Place. So I like that stuff. I love Abby as corporate Abby. And, you know, all about, yeah, Victoria, I'm running Chelsea's division, and I got some ideas about Brash and Sassy. And Victoria was like, bitch, no, you don't have any advice for me on Brash and Sassy, ho. I love that. It's like,
I did too.
Finally, they have the Newmans, you know, I just can't wait for Adam to be Adam. You know, after he gets through, you know, putting a Trojan virus on. I don't know what this Trojan virus is going to do. Victor has McAfee, people. I don't understand what the Paragon Project is going to do. But I'm ready for all of that to be over and him to be Adam so that all the Newmans can be at Newman, you know, squabbling and fighting.
Why this is taking so long to play out for, like, people to know this Adam.
You know, it might be, you know, because Victor's, like, suing for grandpa rights for that kid, and so maybe that's how it'll come out. Maybe Adam will, I don't know, that's not intel.
Well, he also has to get out of the Delia thing, because as long as when he's revealed to be Adam, technically.
I can honestly say, and I'll go on the record, they could come up with any kind of, other than time travel or crazy, you know, something hokey pokey, if they just said, you know, Katie McClay, Dixie Cootie ran that baby off, and we found that off, that Jack was like, that's why I killed her, because she killed Cordelia. I mean, whatever, if we could just, because, yeah, I hate that hanging over his head, because I don't want to see Burgess Jenkins spend another 3 years of my life, you know, you killed Delia, and it's because you am never going to get to have my baby daughter girl again. You know, I'm not really interested in seeing that. So, yeah, we can act like Delia just didn't even happen. She can be that, you know, that Martin on All My Children who went up in the attic, and we just, because, I mean, Justin Hartley is sex on a stick. He's great with Melissa Claire Egan. I love all of that. I love all of it. I even liked Sage being all scared that Victor was going to snatch her baby and having those nightmares because, you know, she dirty. She wrong. She know that Adam is really Adam and not Gabe. So she's scared that Victor's going to come and get that baby. Not so crazy about the Neil stuff, but, you know, I get it. Michelle had to go on maternity leave and they get confused when they have to write.
Sometimes I watch Neil and I'm like, does he even know what he's talking about? I mean, he said something completely different like 10 minutes ago. Neil confuses me. I don't even know that he knows what's going on.
Neil and Phyllis are the two recipients of Pratt's worst. I think the rest of the show has really gotten better, you know, but the ratings are...
You don't connect anything that you watch to their history.
Yeah.
I mean, I watch it a couple of times a week just to kind of watch it. But as long as you don't know any of these people...
Well, Gene and Shelly didn't care about history either. I mean, I can't give them, you know, Gene and Shelly are the ones who, yeah.
When I watch Neil, it's not really Neil, it's somebody else. When I watch, billionaires. Abby is a billionaire. Victor never talks about.
Speaking of which, Mike, they each have like what $500 million, and Nick has a bar that has no customers, and he must just be losing money.
We talk about that all the time. Let's move.
I know, but I'm just saying. Watching it this last week,
Noah is there, and I can buy Noah running that bar. Nick is, you know, helping with Newman, and at least the bar set gives us, you know, scenes for Marisa and Luca. You know, I can't wait.
The other thing is that, like, Devon should be in this thing. She'd be like, you know what? They're going to arrest me. I'm going to pull out my billionaire card, and I'm going to go all, you don't know who I am. I can buy and sell you, and I will get a lawyer better than Michael Baldwin. I will get the best lawyer to get me off the hook. See, he just didn't do anything like that. He's just
– Alexis Davis.
I just don't – yeah, Neil stuff, I don't know why – I mean, yeah, I do know why, because they had to write a maternity leave story for her. But in terms of story-wise, I don't know why Neil wouldn't just say – hey, you know, the first time my wife fell over a cliff, I wasn't able to save her, but surprise, I was able to save this one. I don't understand why he's all, you know, they're going to think that I pushed you. Now, if they played the race card, I would buy that. If Neil was like, they ain't going to believe me, I'm a brother. They ain't going to believe that girl fell on her own.
And poor Esther. Are you supposed to believe that Colin is really chasing after her when Jill's not around?
That upset me. I didn't have a man, a freak out.
Esther never been out of that house. I don't even know she knows where that coffee shop is.
Mike, I'll tell you what pissed me off about that.
Mike.
We have not seen Jill Abbott for 6 months. And
it has since Jesus was a lad.
Back for... you know, more letters from the great beyond. How many freaking letters did Kay Chancellor write these folks? Look, did she know she was going to die 8 years? You know, we're going to get 8 years worth of letters, you know? She comes back for that. And then the next thing they do with Jill, instead of, you know, have her go see Billy and you know, her new grandbaby, is this Golden Girls storyline where Rose Nylund is upset when she finds out that Miles has been sampling Dorothy's baked goods.
Her cupcakes.
Really? We're going to do hijinks. You know, what's her name? Esther, what's that woman's name? Kate Linder has always been a comic relief character. You have... Daytime Emmy-winning legend Jess Walton, General Hospital superstar Tristan Rogers doing your comic hijinks?
Esther owns half that house, and she was...
No, she doesn't.
Half the house, and Jill owned half the house.
Jill got the house.
Staying on as the maid. Okay.
Jill owned half of the house before, because when Jill found... Yeah, so...
But no. I thought that Esther got...
No, they basically said that she couldn't fire her.
Kay
right?
died. She left Jill her half of the mansion, but said she can't sell it, which is bullshit. And that she can't, she could never boot Esther out.
And then Esther gets $20,000 a month, right?
Is Esther gets paid $20,000 a month to stay on as the maid.
The maid.
But yeah. She's so upset because Colin may or may not have pinched her booty that she's going to go make $7.25 at Dylan's Star.
Well, that's the reason why she can afford to. Jillian.
But who would ever leave getting $20,000 a month?
She's still going to get it.
Case. Will said that she only gets it if she stays on as the maid. Did y'all not watch the Will reading stuff?
I did. I did,
but what I'm saying is she's at $20,000 a month. Kay's been dead for a couple of years now. She probably has
I'm not going to leave.
Jillian, what do you think of Michael E. Knight coming to Y&R?
I'm still not going to leave $20,000.
I'm serious.
I'm going to enjoy that picture.
It's my butt. He could slip a finger up there if you want.
No, Kay may be gone, but Sherman's there waiting. He knows what's going on with that will.
I might take him up in the attic for a good time. She don't owe Jill nothing. They ain't never been friends.
Okay. Jill's not doing her wifely duties, then maybe Esther can take them.
Esther, it's been a long time since Tiny. What did Tiny who fathered?
Tiny.
It's been a long time. Look, his name was Tiny, so it might have been longer than that.
Jillian, what do you think of Michael E. Knight coming to Y&R?
Why is what I think. That's just what I think. I feel when I saw the announcement, I felt, I'm not going to lie, I felt, I'm like, Maria back there casting again? Because, you know, she always had a hard-on for All My Children people. I don't see why this is necessary. I'm just going to sit back and watch the... I'm just going to sit back and watch the ham-tastic, the ham sandwich that's going to go down with him and certain other people on that cast who do the math.
Well, Okay. Let's talk about
it. I can't wait for him and Michael Baldwin to square.
There you go.
I don't want it to be in the Abbott Mansion or the Chancellor Estate.
Listen.
Love those kids.
Him having colon cancer, I mean, that's just prostate. Bound to happen. Prostate cancer.
Michael, Christian does it. They both do it well, you know, so that's the thing. They're both good set chewers, but I want the two of them on in just an epic battle of. Oh,
The girl is mine. It's going to be like the boy is mine video. Monica. They're going to have to do a split screen. I'm the diva. No, I'm the diva.
Oh, it would make it better is if Kyle Lauder joined and they would just, the three of them just.
Mike, let's talk about B&B. Caroline and Ridge got married.
That was exciting. It's like, okay, we're going out to get married. See you guys later. Bye.
And she still doesn't know he's been snipped.
No, but Brooke does. Busybody Brooke, because that's all she's got to do now is just go around gossiping about people. All up in everybody's
business. She's turning into Pam. She's going to show up with lemon bars.
I know. It's ridiculous. Now, I think, you know, not before you say anything, it's all, this is going to be good. Catherine Kelly Lang is too good to waste on that kind of stuff. That's all I'm going
to
say.
I agree with you. But to be fair to the show, Ridge was just as much a busybody when Brooke was hooking up with Deacon. Not Deacon. What's his name? My boy. Dollar Bill. I mean, all Brooke is doing is showing up saying, Ridge, you really should tell her that your pee-pee doesn't tweet no more. I mean, this motherfucker flew to the Arab lands.
I have a question for you guys.
So that's what happens when
I have a question
when
for
he
you.
Fell from the helicopter.
Yeah, it's, that's when it snipped it. Look under the sea.
Stingray got him.
Maybe when he hit the water, it all put everything back together
shark
again. Caroline
bit, bit a piece of his pee pee off.
And said,
Shark Week.
It said, I could have had a V8 instead. It just.
Okay, I have a question. Do you guys really think that Thomas and Caroline slept together? Because all I see in the flashbacks is them having that first kiss, and I don't see anything else. I mean, when they got up the next day,
is gonna be another
Thomas
one of those
said it, and
Thomas
Bennett was
and
just
Brooke
taking
on
his
the
gospel.
Island.
I'm just going to be real about life. And, you know, if there are young people listening, close your ears.
Or fast
Caroline, unless Thomas is a gherkin, she going to know. Somebody been stirring her pot, you know. You're gonna know. I think that's why she freaked out, because she did kind of, you know, you're gonna feel some sore if it was done right. You're gonna feel some.
Maybe he doesn't know how to do it right.
Some, plus, there would be evidence in the bed, you know, because they didn't
I just feel like, you know, they just
there would
didn't
be things.
Show it. And
well, but don't you just think this is like Brooke and Thomas on the island? With the
no,
the funny berries.
My girl, look,
no,
I'm a,
they
I hate
almost
to be,
did it, but no.
My girl has been around the block a lot, so you know she could get fucked and not know it. Because Brooke been screwing a long time, but
yeah, she didn't know Oliver know was that, Ridge. She didn't know Ridge wasn't Oliver.
Yeah.
That's what you call wide load sign.
Brooke is like, look at her. I done have 4 or 5 kids, and I've been screwing 30 years. So, you know, hey, I don't know. Look, but now, Caroline, Thomas is tall. You know, tall people tend to be, you know, proportionate. So she would have known something. But
I was just curious your opinion, because I thought maybe Thomas was going to make her think that she did when they didn't. But B&B doesn't really operate that way, so...
If you, well, they, you know, there have been characters like that. I think, you know, a lot of people, you know, are on Twitter thinking Thomas is the biggest creep in the world. I think that, you know, I'm just playing it. I mean, going by the way it's written or the way he's at least acting right now, he was mortified at her reaction. I do think they had sex.
Yeah.
But I do. I think that. I think,
well, this is how she's going to get pregnant, right?
Well, she said she already took a test and she's not.
I think consent will come up back, like when everything is, you know, when everything is out in the open. I think that consent will end up. Here's how I hope we're playing wishful storytelling. This is how I hope everything shakes out. I hope Ridge has one of his, you know, you're dead to me, I'm firing you from the line, you know, and just really alienates Thomas, who still has 5% of that company. Mm-hmm. And I hope, you know, Mike, you're talking about wanting Brooke to have a story, so do I. I would love, for old time's sakes, for Dollar Bill, because, you know, Wyatt mentioned that Bill selling his percentages in Forrester would give them the seed money they need for their new fashion venture. I would love if they had Bill sell those shares to Brooke.
Right.
And then put Brooke back in the catbird seat.
Yep.
Able to march in there and tell, you know, brunette ambition ponytail Steffi that she is the one who can decide.
Oh my God.
And then Rick is all salivating, and, you know, my mom and dad have enough shares, and, you know, Taba sides with Brooke and Eric, and then Rick is all happy thinking he's about to be the one, and Eric is like, not so fast, my boy. Your mother is once again going to be the CEO of this company.
I gotta say, can I say one positive thing about Bold and Beautiful for once?
You better.
Steffi going up to Ivy when she was about to be the model and firing her ass was the best thing
that
I watched. I thought that was awesome.
That was hot. That was
hot. I loved it. Shut her down.
I love. Well, that was hot, but Dollar Bill and Katie eating her. Ooh, they came busting up in that office and told their asses off. I was like,
And I will say this is, you know, B&B, you know, a friend of mine, we were rolling about how ridiculous it is that, you know, the president of the company is always modeling and stuff like that, because that's not, Gisele Bundchen is not, you know, crunching numbers anywhere. But I will say it is kind of, for some fashion, how, you know, because the whole Liam working at both places, you know, a fan tweeted me, well, like, do you think that that would be conflict of interest? And I would say yes, but then really it's not, because, like, if you think about, like, Russell Simmons and people like that, you know, those people own, like, digital media companies, but they also have money in fashion. And yeah. So, you know, Dollar Bill is kind of like a Black Diddy, I guess. He's got, you know, interest everywhere. But I do think that my big problem is, how is Liam able to, there's not enough hours in the day for you to be president of an international publishing house and to be, you know, Steffi's lapdog, because that's, oh, that was the best scene of the week when Katie and Bill showed up and Hochek.
Yes.
And that was the shit.
Yeah. That's what I said.
Stepmama, you know, because Katie always have his back. But stepmama, you a little bitch. You a bitch.
I like how
Katie stands behind Bill and shakes her head because she doesn't do anything else.
They are a boss, Jillian. I got to give it to you. You know, I was.
Told you.
Bill and Katie this time around are boss. I'm like, okay. I know he still thinks about Brooke every once in a while, but Billy.
You know what I like?
It's more than once in a while.
You know what I liked? I like the fact that Steffi tried to, like, you know, use that card a little bit, and Bill was like, bitch, I'm not having that.
That's
trying to catch his eye. She was like, all right, no, when she said, are you going to let her talk to your son that way? And when he looked at her stone face and was like, babe, you got something else to say? I was like, bitch.
And how about Liam finding that one time to actually stand up and say, maybe you should make an appointment the next time you want to just come in? I was like, really?
Bill,
that's the first time that Liam ever said anything in his life.
And Bill, he got promptly shut like down.
Mother. Bill acted like a Black grandmother, specifically mine, when I'd be like, can you knock before you come in my room? You
pay some bills in here, I sure will. Yeah.
I own every room in this house. I ain't got to knock nowhere. He was like, I own the percentages that give you the right to be up in here, boy.
Exactly.
Well, I saved.
Because you got a hipster beard on, you can talk back to daddy.
Oh,
I saved the best, maybe the worst soap for last.
Oh, I was going to say.
General Hospital. Was it any surprise that Sonny survived being shot? Mike,
no. Yeah. I'll go here.
What did you think was going to be?
I tweeted my displeasure at General Hospital for missing some really key beats of what could have been a very dramatic story. Here's the problem that I have with General Hospital, and I can't say that other people do. They have written these characters like this for so long, for, you know, the last few years that I've been actually rewatching it again every single day. I don't like anybody. There is nobody to root for. They are all horrible people. So when Sonny gets shot, I don't care. This was some good dramatic soapy stuff. But, you know, Monica wasn't in the picture. Tracy didn't overhear Michael declare himself Sonny's son. No, there was no conflict. Morgan?
Oh, yes.
Morgan, somebody I tweeted that I just needed a poison dart to blow into his neck because he was so over the top ridiculous. And I know they're writing him that way, but I can't. Morgan, like, this is not
Tate's life.
Oh, well, whatever. But that's
and Michael's now back to being a Sonny apologist.
But it's almost like I watched The Godfather. I watched it many times. You guys are pilfering it exactly
badly.
Morgan acting like Sonny Corleone. You have Michael, the reluctant guy, taking over.
Michael Corleone.
Yes.
I would actually say Morgan is Fredo with his bitch
ass. Fredo.
Yes.
A lot. That's pretty mean.
Yes, he is Fredo. He is Fredo. Fredo.
Sonny was the hothead who reacted without thinking.
Yes.
But my point is that if I cared about these people, this would have been really, really good. And there were some good performers and all that kind of stuff. But Patrick is a neurosurgeon, and the heart surgeon would have been somebody on Monica's team or maybe Monica. And that would have been sorry.
Now, and you know how soap doctoring works. We used to laugh all the time about how Olivia on Young and the Restless was your pet psychic. She was your, you know, she was your vet when your parent had a messed up wig. She delivered your baby.
Sammy, let's not even go there. Sammy, Candy Stripe and Sammy.
Lexi, you know, diagnosed cancer for folks. And then, you
Taylor's a shrink. She was a cancer doctor. Now. Yeah.
But I see what you mean. It was like, but the main issue, you know, the main issue was, you know, the spine. But yeah, when it moved to the heart, he would have had to call a cardiologist in. But, you know, Monica would have let Sonny bleed out.
Well, I get that. But that would have been that whole thing where she would have been there and she would have been. It still would
be
real.
Monica couldn't be cutting on me at 70-something years old anyway. They would have to get somebody else.
Tracy
to
can't find her way out of the mansion.
Tracy getting some dick, so she ain't thinking about Monica. Tracy is like, touch me in the morning.
My two favorite moments of General Hospital this last week, and the rest of it was pretty much blah, was Ava getting out of jail and losing the wig, and Christina having the Davis girl moment. Those are the two highlights. Well, and the rest of it was just like, I don't care about Dylan's movie at all. And once again, Maxie, Kirsten Storm is getting stuck in a dud storyline. Why can't
she only
they
cares
make
about Sonny and Carly's happiness?
Lomax. I love the fact that Big Lomax got her some of that pink paint in college.
Well, I mean, that's a nice little touch, but I want Maxie to have better storylines.
What you say?
So, Paul, you know, Dylan's movie, he didn't apply the right permit at the Port Charles Film Commission or whatever. He bought all the permits but didn't buy one, and the movie was going to go over budget and blah, blah, blah. So Paul was like, who is the mayor? And they're like, Lomax. And he was like, Shakisha Lomax?
Shut up.
He's like, oh, I got this. And so they were like, how? And he was like,
she's got a soft spot for
law school. You know, me and Shakisha used to kind of flirt around and this and that. So Paul called Lomax up and was like, hey, baby girl, sister Sugar Possum, I need you to let my boy have that permit. And I guess she giggled on the other end. The next thing you know, Dylan had his movie. So I'm like, Paul Horn's been an 8-hour male Lomax. And
no, she said that she didn't have
I was like, you
got down with the brown, huh?
You got down with the brown.
Hey, man, you know them quarterbacks like that brown sugar. Anyway, Edward would be like, if Edward was alive, he'd be like, I feel you, bruh. Mary may have some good.
Well, before we move on, I want to go back.
My whole overview of G8. So here's my thing about G8. So, okay. I felt, and you know, you can see the tapestry. You can see that, you know, Varney, this was the last of Ron's writing, but Varney's vision of, you know, the show being a more realistic show about several different families. You know, it felt very Guza-esque. And my thing is, if they didn't want what Ron was doing, why don't they just get Guza back? Because...
Oh, yeah. I mean, it feels like Guza. Absolutely.
But I will say they did a good job of shoring up the family units. And I have to give a shout out to Carolyn Hidsey, because she used to always use that phrase in her column about fixing a show. And that's what, you know, that's kind of what they did this last week. They, you know, it was like, okay, let's put all of House Corinthos in scenes together. Let's put the Davis girls in scenes together. Let's put the scraggling group that we want to call the Quartermains, which basically was Paul and Tracy and Dylan and poor Maxie. Look, it's like, Maxie, just going to fix you over here because you don't have, you know. And then they put, you know, the Patrick, Sam, you know,
Anna,
kids, you know, little cluster fudge group together. So it felt like, okay, I'm going to say when it is time to reboot a soap, I like that, because it's like, I need to know that these people are related. Whereas, you know, B&B is very good at reminding you how people are related. Y&R, I feel, has done this well with the Newmans and the Abbotts under Pratt, giving him his props for that, because they used to feel very straggly before. But on days, if I'm a new person trying to tune into this show and didn't know the particulars and the family members and stuff, I don't know that these people are kin.
Very segregated over there.
Teresa is Eve's sister. I don't know anything about these people. I see these three old women in this mansion giggling and going on. I don't know who they are. I don't know. They're not... Days is not doing a good job for a show, you know, promoting its 50th anniversary, shoring up. When has Lucas been in a scene with Jennifer? That's his damn sister. You know, Abby Hoish, she need her uncle. You know, Jack is dead. Lucas should be like, look, girl, you need to, you know, put a penny between your knees. And
he needs to tell her, sit your butthole in some,
you know,
ice water.
Will and Abby have scenes every blue moon, but it doesn't feel, you know, Kayla was all, hope it just hit me when you marry Aiden, we won't be sisters-in-law no more. Trick, we ain't been sisters-in-law in 4 years. What you talking about? Bo went off to get some bread, and we ain't seen him. So we still home, girls. What does it matter? You know, but they're not, I will say for me, GH, it definitely is mob-tastic again.
Which for those of us who have not missed that.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, the mob is okay. It's the dialogue that makes Sonny the saint.
If you wanted to be risen from the grave,
then make him the character that you love to hate and make him own it. It just is like, Ron, I don't need to hear from every character how great Sonny is, because Ron, he's not great. He's a
Ron
killer.
Ron did that, and the ratings went up. You know, he has 13 weeks of bad ratings, or now, you know, I guess it went up to like 17, but you know. But he did that overall. It's like, before, Sonny never did anything really bad. You know, back in the Guza era, Sonny, you know, if he shot someone in the head, it was an accident. Or, you know, if he killed...
He was a bad guy, yeah.
Or if he had Jason rub someone out, they deserved to die because they were a really, really no good Nick who tried to rape Sam or someone. Ron came in and was like, I'm going to have Sonny kill AJ. I'm going to have Ava kill Connie. I'm going to have the mob characters really
be
do
mobsters.
Unspeakable things like mobsters do. And, you know...
Get right into a corner.
According
though.
To Maurice, that meant that Ron didn't like him. And then now we have it back like it used to be, which is, you know... And, I'm a huge Sonny fan. And I definitely wanted Michael to one day fall, you know... I wanted it to be fractured, but I did want him to reclaim his love for his father. But I'm going to say, even for me, it's like, in one scene, it's like, you're my father again, I love you. And then when he said, we both made mistakes, I'm like, bruh, got raped in the boot in prison. Your other daddy got killed, and you got shot in the head. We both make mistakes.
And your dad, you killed my father. Hello.
Yeah,
a mistake is like taking the car out for a spin and running it into Mrs. Gomez's flower bed.
Well, Jillian, you're like mob. You're pro mob with General Hospital. Like, what are you thinking with all
yes,
this?
Yes, I am, and I like the mob. What of it? What you gonna do?
No, I'm just saying. Do you like what's going on? Do you care about all this stuff that's happening, or is it working for you?
I'm sitting. I'm kind of, you know, Maurice. I'm on the, Maurice wasn't my favorite person after that, but I still like Sonny. I was sitting and sitting vigil, like, oh my god, my baby got shot. Meaning Sonny. I'm like, oh my god, my baby! But I didn't want that turncoat Michael near him. I'm like, Toto, you bitch, get away. I'm liking the mob. You know, I've been dying for the mob. You know, I love the mob. But I would have done things a little bit different than what went down. You know, like, I guess finally we got Jason and Sonny's orbit. I have been harping since Billy Miller has come to this show. They should have had him and Maurice more integrated more. Like,
I'll agree with you there.
Yeah, I did like that scene that he said, I knew you'd come back. It was kind of weird. I liked it because he was almost done.
His sphincter felt who that was. I knew you were waiting for me.
I get that they had to have the women in Jason's life, you know, come in together more. But Sonny, let's just be real. The biggest love story of that show since Guza took over. Since Jason joined the mob, I should say. The biggest love story was Sonny and Jason.
It was low, I still be.
It just feels too little, too late. Like, now I'm just like, I could drink a V8.
Where is Robin Scorpio? That's the first thing Gene and Shelly need to figure out. Is are they going to recast? Look, Lacey Chabert is not doing anything. She could play Robin. Even Regal could play Robin. Look, I love Kimberly McCullough. She is directing. She is directing Filthy Little Tramps and the Foster Kids and all of ABC Family's other shows. Chasing Cancer and Chasing Death and all them other shows. She is at the ABC Family. So they
need to give her first
cast Robin, Scorpio, Drake, Johnson, Peterson, Van Patten.
I've been saying that too. Like, they need to, let's just be real, they need to give her first refusal. If she says, they need to say, look, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it, or we got to recast.
I'm going to be real, because Sam is not a hood chick. Because a hood chick, like, when Anna showed up over there for that party, a hood chick would have been like, baby, why your ex-wife mama still coming over here and stuff? I mean, I know that's her grandbaby and stuff, but can't she see her at the park or something? Because, you know, coming over here.
Hood chick would have taken Anna's key. She would have been like, I need that key before you
leave. You know, Shaquisha would have been like Patrick. Well, I would have been DePatrick. I need you to tell your old lady's mama she can't just be coming over here for parties and stuff all the time, because I'm your woman now. I'm your number one.
Let's talk a little bit about Winterthorn, Michael Caruso's 4-part series wrapped this last week with a scene that involved Krista Storms is getting better work on Winterthorn than she's getting on General Hospital. Let's just put it that way. Jamie, what'd you think?
I thought it was a great finale to a very fun, inventive story that you do not see quite often in the webisode world. Enjoyed it immensely. And Death by Candy Cane is the new hot. I love the little...
Is the new cookie.
Yeah, I love the little... speaking of cookies, it's almost time for the innies! But
that's why I'm trying to wrap this.
I loved the bell throw where, you know, Kirsten Storm, she got to be so bitchy and Maxie-esque.
I know! She's like, more Maxie on Winterthorn than she's been on General Hospital in years.
Mother loved being with her precious number one, when in reality we all know that you were just a big number two. Now, technically, Michael Caruso... She was a number three because Charity Rambo told me to tell you, you're not going to forget Up Run as the most epic Bell Black ever. I have the receipts called a video of the Charity Rambo epic tour that put both Kirsten and Martha to shame with her eloquence and command of a scene.
And wanting to have sex with her on screen daddy.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Daddy.
I think that was Michael Caruso's point, is for us to forget Charity
Rambo. Oh, no, we have an award named after her. She will forever be remembered in the Hall.
And you know, for whatever reason, that Charity Raymer video has been pulled off of YouTube.
That girl probably told YouTube. I would. Look, I would be like, y'all go take this down. You know, Charity might end up being like a brilliant whatever she does. It might, but it could be like Sonia Coppola because, you know, she sucked donkey balls as an actress in that third Godfather movie. And then she became a brilliant filmmaker. So Charity Raymer might, you know, cure polio or something. Polio been cured, hadn't it? I don't know. Something that has not been cured, like the flu, which I had all week. So anyway, I want to close this podcast by saying I lost my idol. She was...
Your Shiro?
Yes, and millions and millions of 13-year-olds learned about naughty, naughty, nasty things from Jackie Collins. But I learned how to tell a rip-roaring story and how to just be engaged and how to live a fabulous life. I mean, I was talking to Luke about this. It's like she was diagnosed with cancer 6.5 years ago, didn't tell anyone except her daughters, only told her beloved sister Joan a few weeks ago. And the woman wrote 5 more novels since the diagnosis, toured the world on book tours, taking meetings with Hollywood about, you know, her projects and things like that. She was just the most inspirational person. So women in the audience, please get your mammograms early. She was stage 4 when she was diagnosed. I personally have had, you know, 2 of my maternal aunts have had double mastectomies. My father's twin sister had breast cancer and had a mastectomy, and my uncle's wife. So, you know, breast cancer has just, you know, is just devastating.
Ravaged.
And, you know, please get your mammograms. I mean, breast cancer cannot take another treasure from us.
And we'll discuss that more on PC.
Yes. So until then, keep it popping. Oh, wrong show.
And on that note, we would encourage you to comment on this episode at daytimeconfidential.com. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/DCConfidential. Add us as a friend on Facebook, facebook.com/DCConfidential. We thank you for listening. Until next time, so long. Bye.
Ella Katie Ryder.